This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm John Ross, KD8IDJ, and this is the ARRL Audio News for Friday, August 1st, 2025. Amateur radio operators, including volunteers serving in the ARRL Amateur Radio Emergency Services ARES, were active in monitoring the potential impacts of tsunami waves following an earthquake off the Russian coast on July 29, 2025. That quake registered 8.8 on the Richter scale and prompted tsunami concerns and warnings around the Pacific Rim. ARRL Pacific Section Manager Alan mentioned AD6E lives in Wailuka, Hawaii, and he was monitoring ham radio communications across the state. There was some minor flooding in a few areas. It could have been worse, he said. Some of the early waves were measured at 4.5 feet. Waves continued this morning, but at a much lower level and difficult to notice by the naked eye, he added. The well-networked ham radio operators in Hawaii quickly sprang into action following the alerts. Informal VHF nets were held on amateur radio repeaters. Rick Ward, WH6FC, held an informational statewide HF net on 7090 kHz lower sideband for many hours, and there were about 57 check-ins. On the U.S. mainland, radio amateurs were also on alert. The Oregon coast teams appear to have been in informal monitoring modes so that they were readily available for activation if needed, said Bonnie Altus, AB7ZQ, who serves as the section emergency coordinator of the ARRL Orange section. The California Rescue Net on 40 meters was activated, according to Bob Turner, W6RHK, section manager of the ARRL Orange section. The net received some preparation reports from the San Francisco Bay Area and Santa Cruz, along with some maritime mobile stations with routine traffic. Orange County Races checked into the net to inquire about tsunami traffic. Ham radios operators are trained for situations like this. In March, operators in the ARRL Los Angeles section participated in a tsunami exercise, simulating their response following large earthquakes with magnitudes 6 through 9 that appeared over several hours, much like the real-world instance. And across the Caribbean, ARRL volunteers took part in Caribbee Wave 2025 drill in the same month. And you can read more at ARRL.org. There's a new resource from ARRL documenting the history of ham radio. Radio Alpha is the ARRL Museum and Research Library. It is available for viewing at www.arrl.org/museum. Radio Alpha is envisioned as a Wikipedia-like project administered by a trusted group of volunteers. It aims to serve as a definitive repository of information, offering detailed descriptions and contextual data on pivotal figures, influential organizations, pioneering companies, transformative inventions, and iconic equipment that have shaped the landscape of amateur radio. Radio Alpha addresses the critical need for a centralized, reliable, and easily navigable archive of amateur radio's past. Recognizing the fragmented nature of existing historical data, this database will consolidate diverse information sources into a single, cohesive platform. Users will find meticulously researched entries, cross-referenced to provide a holistic understanding of the connections and evolutions within the hobby. A core principle of Radio Alpha is universal accessibility. Therefore, the database will be entirely free to access, ensuring that researchers, historians, enthusiasts, and the public can explore its content without barriers. Noted author, industrialist, archaeologist, and historian Chuck Penson, WA7ZZE, is the principal volunteer who crafted the collection. Penson has published several books about the history of Heathkit and the Titan II missile. For him, it's a labor of love and necessity. Somebody has to do this, said Penson. Lots of people are doing it independently on their own. Here's a website about the equipment I own, and here's some documents I scanned, and there's a lot of that. The lack of a central location to compile these collections is the root of Radio Alpha. Penson hopes the research library will preserve the data long after individual contributors have passed away. And he hopes that that data will be preserved forever. ARRL has an organizational structure that allows it to take a long view of stuff like this. It is best equipped to handle a project like Radio Alpha. The numbers for Field Day 2025 are in and showing growth. 2025 ARRL Field Day showed an increase in both participants and entries compared to 2024. According to ARRL Contest Program Manager Paul Bork, N1SFE, 4,369 entries detailed 31,785 people taking part in the event. That's up from last year. There's a growing interest in ham radio, especially after last year's hurricane season and other high-profile situations in which radio has been essential, said Bork. ARRL Field Day serves as a great chance to get engaged with your local amateur radio community. The uptick in numbers may not be complete, and there is still an opportunity for a few entries to be added. Occasionally, a club will need to update their entry. We work with them to make sure it is correct, said Bork. Field Day participants should check that all required supporting documentation related to their entries has been received by checking the Entries Received webpage. If the status of your entry is listed as pending documents, then one of more required documents still needs to be submitted to complete your entry. Entrants may use the link provided in the confirmation email they received to upload informational documents or to modify their entries. Currently, 223 entries are listed as being incomplete. Updates or existing entries will be accepted until August 29, 2025. And if you're having difficulty completing your Field Day entry or have any questions, contact fieldday@arrl.org. On the public outreach front, final measurement numbers of the media coverage earned by amateur radio public information volunteers have been tallied. ARRL Public Relations Outreach Manager Sierra Harrop, W5DX, reports that the total ad value, AVE, 2025 ARRL Field Day is $37.9 million. You can read more about Field Day at ARRL.org. The 2025 ARRL Alabama State Convention at the Huntsville Ham Fest is August 16th and 17th at the Von Braun Center in Huntsville. There is a full slate of activities happening around the event, and you can navigate them easier through the ARRL Events app. The app includes the event's full program, so you can browse and schedule forums, preview the extensive list of exhibitors, and find affiliated events. Those going are also encouraged to tap on the My Profile icon in the app to add their name and call sign, email address, and any additional information they would like to share with other guests. The My Badge icon displays a QR code of your event badge that can be scanned by another attendee or exhibitor using the Scan Badge icon, instantly connecting shared contact information with other hams at the event. The app is available for Apple and Android smart devices. You may also access the web browser version, which is optimized for nearly any browser or other type of mobile device. Tickets and information for the Huntsville HamFest are available at www.hamfest.org. The ESME Foundation has awarded a supporting grant to cover the cost of amateur radio license exams for youth in Malawi, Africa. 9 people have participated in the exams this past week, 5 for new licenses and 4 for upgrades. The ESME Foundation Board is also acknowledging the ongoing work of amateur radio operator Don Jones, K670, for promoting amateur radio in Malawi. Under his leadership, the HACDC Amateur Radio Club initiated the Malawi Project, which has helped license several new amateur radio operators in Malawi, the Comoros, and Uganda. The project now has a permanent home, the Jeffrey Don Memorial Foundation. Jones added that there are now 11 youths who have licenses, including a 12-year-old girl who just passed her license test. He hopes that 19 to 20 more high school students will soon be licensed and amateur radio station added at their school. Plans are underway to bring some of those new hams to the 2026 Hamvention. The 28th International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend, ILLW, will take place August 16th and 17th, 2025. Started in 1993 by the Air Amateur Radio Club in Scotland as the Northern Lighthouse Activity Weekend, ILLW now coincides with many countries honoring the lighthouses each August. The event is not a contest, and participation is free. Each station's operators decide on which bands and modes they will operate, and there are no restrictions on antennas or power, and each station must be operated in compliance with their operator's license. Complete information, including the registration, guidelines, and a current list of participants, can be found at the website at International Lighthouse Lightship Weekend. Dr. Erwich Rode, N1UL, has been awarded the Bavarian Order of Merit. Rode is an honorary member of the Bavarian Academy of Sciences. Bavarian Minister President Dr. Markus Söder said the award is considered a sign of grateful recognition for outstanding scientific achievements and services to the Free State of Bavaria. I accept the award with gratitude and respect, said Rode. I am very pleased about the recognition of my life's work that this award represents. Rode is an ARRL member and helped author the ARRL handbook. Bruce Page, KK5DO, is here now with this week's AMSAT report. Bruce?
Thanks, John. A quick update to the story from last week about the request of AST to use the 430 to 440 megahertz band. I did a quick look at the FCC website for all the filed comments. Besides AMSAT and ARIS, I found these radio amateur societies: Germany, Sweden, Switzerland, Finland, Serbia, Spain, Greece, Slovenia, France, Cyprus, as well as the IARU, all filing comments. I even found an objection by T-Mobile. I was told that the ARRL also filed a comment. I must have missed it scrolling through the some 2,300 comments. If we let one company encroach on our spectrum, it opens the floodgates for others to enter. The Tevel 2 family of satellites currently has only number 3 working. The other 8 have not been commissioned yet. It is not known when the others will turn on for amateur use. If you are tracking them, all use the same frequencies, 145.970 MHz up and 436.400 MHz down, both FM. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO. Back to you, John.
And thanks, Bruce, for that report. Just ahead in radio sport this week, on August 1st, the NCCC Sprint, that's CW. August 2nd and 3rd, the 1010 International Summer Contest, single sideband and phone. The North American QSO Party, CW. And the ARRL 222 MHz up and down distance contest, that's CW, phone and digital. And remember to visit the ARRL contest calendar for more events and information. Upcoming section, state, and division conventions on August 2nd, the ARRL Maine State Convention and Hamfest, that's in Augusta, Maine. August 3rd, the SVARC Berryville Hamfest, hosting the ARRL Roanoke Division Convention, that's in Berryville, Virginia. On August 9th, the ARRL Idaho State Convention, that's in Post Falls, Idaho. And on August 16th and 17th, the Huntsville Hamfest, hosting the ARRL Alabama State Convention in Huntsville, Alabama. And remember to search the ARRL Hamfest and Convention database to find events in your area. And finally this week, thanks to the Caravan Radio Club in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for airing the ARRL audio news on their repeater. 7-3.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.